Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza. We call The Usual Suspects. You guys are usual suspects because you like to participate, which we love. And a lot of times, you are highly intelligent individuals that give us information that we are looking for when we are in need. I'm not sure that this is the case, but we do have someone that wants to chime in on the Ken Giles situation. So, Jared, you've been patiently waiting. We appreciate you. What you got on Ken Giles?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. I just want to say Ken Giles is garbage. Like, first of all, he looks like he's related to OU Mike. Second of all, he's terrible at closing baseball games. I mean, you can read the stat lines all day long. I'll bet the stat lines don't tell you that last night Byron Buxton missed a home run to tie the game by, like, 4 feet because Giles couldn't even close one single out. Last year, I'll bet the stat lines didn't show how many times he put two or three guys on with one out, and his defense bailed his ass out. I mean, he's a garbage closer, and I know the market's very light to get one here, but we got to do something. This guy's trash and needs to go.
Appreciate the call, Jared.
Appreciate it. Now, let me ask you this.
Hold on. Let me rebut that along. Well, go ahead.
No, I just want to ask you as part of that, and you can get it all.
Because I don't want to become this Giles defender, because I'm not necessarily defending Ken Giles. But I think the narrative, it becomes easy for everybody just to pile on and say Ken Giles is garbage. No, he's not. He was fourth in the league in saves last year and only blew 4 saves. Guess who else blew 4 saves? Craig Kimbrell. Is he garbage? He had how many more saves did Kimbrell have than Giles last year?
Okay, you can get to all that. But here's my question for you, because I'm not...
One. I'm sorry.
Here's my question, aside from what Jared said. My question is, could it be all mental? Because there's a reason why they went and got him from Philadelphia, because he had that kind of special arm, that special kind of velocity and arm that said closer. And you're right. There's a certain thing to have the mentality to close games. But right now it seems like there's also something going on in his head that's preventing him from succeeding in the fact that whether he's afraid he's going to fail. The only thing I'll say about Jared's call is things that you and I have already talked about. It bothers me because he comes into the game and sets fires sometimes instead of puts them out. But I'm just wondering how much of it could be mental, because obviously his arm is still alive. He's still popping the mitt at a very high rate. So that's just what I would ask as well.
So, I mean, what are you, you're saying, do I think it's a mental issue with
him? Is it a mechanical issue, or is it more of a mental issue?
I think with Giles, it could be both, but that's with anybody. I mean, when anybody is struggling, it could be the mental side of it. And for a closer, a lot of times that could be the case, but it could be a flaw in his mechanics. I mean, I'm not buying the narrative. Did he have a horrible World Series? Absolutely. Absolutely. It was bad. But to have a guy call in or to have somebody tweet, and it was T-Shoot, he tweeted, it was like, Reddick was good in the regular season, Giles was shaky all year. Giles had his moments where he wasn't good, I'll give you that. But those stand out more because they're few and far between.
But I understand, you're looking at it from a statistical perspective, and that's fair, that's fine. Because a lot of the times he set a fire, but he was still able to pitch his way out of it.
You know what we call it in football? A bend but don't break defense, right? You give up a ton of yards, but they don't score all the time, and you win the game. Giles may give up a run. He may give up a home run or a foul ball, which that's essentially what we're talking about is a foul ball. But he got the save, and they won the game. Why is he a garbage closer? If he blew that game, if that was a home run,
because
then we
could
talk.
People's mentality and their way of thinking is that's going to catch up to you at some point. You hope that it doesn't catch up at you at a point when you really need him to to do that without setting the fire first before putting it out. And eventually you mess with fire, you get burned. That's just, I'm trying to paraphrase what you're talking about, what I've seen, what people have called to the show and said in terms of why they don't trust him, because of the fact that sometimes you don't have the luxury of having the offense that gives you a one or two. I mean, instead of a one run lead, it's two or three, where you can make a mistake. Like you said, you can bend, not break. But as you get into the postseason or you get into tight games down the stretch, if you need a game, that's what makes people uneasy. I get it that they attack instead of just saying, I don't feel comfortable. But overall, I think that there's still enough ammunition there for people to feel uneasy about Ken Giles.
Okay. I mean, I'm just going to disagree. I don't want to become this Ken Giles apologist, because do I think he's an elite closer? No. I'm not saying he is an elite closer. Is he garbage? No. Trust me. There. Look what happened to the Cardinals last night. Greg Holland walks in a run after walking the bases loaded. Your boy, by the way, Nick. But that's and again, one game. The Cardinals fans are probably calling in St. Louis right now, bitching about Greg Holland as our closer. We've got to go get a closer. He's terrible. He had a rough second half, but Greg Holland he had a bad game. You know, it's different if you walk in. Look what happened to Verlander. What was it? First and third with no outs. He got out of the inning. Are we mad at Verlander because he had the guys on first and third with no outs? Does that make him a garbage pitcher? No, but he's also got five other innings, and Giles doesn't get that. His five other innings are going to come in five other games and five under pressure situations.
I think here's the other point that factors in, too, that we haven't mentioned yet that's worth mentioning. If this is an issue, or if this topic is coming up and you're the Minnesota Twins, it's one thing. It's on steroids when you're talking about the World Series champions or a team that still won the World Series with Ken Giles. It's magnified under a microscope 100 times more because of the fact that you've got a championship caliber team. That's why I think people react the way they do, and they're so quick to say, you know, to jump into the bashing and get rid of him kind of mode, because you have expectations higher than most teams in this league, if not the highest of any team in this league other than the Yankees or the Dodgers.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's obviously, but that's the thing, is we're nitpicking about a guy who was fourth in the majors in saves, one behind what some would argue is probably the best or the top two or three closers in baseball in Craig Kimbrel, and they blew the same amount of saves.
Now,
strikeout wise, big difference. I get it.
But, and I don't want to beat this either, like you, but I'm saying the other thing is, he had more saves because he had more save opportunities because he's playing on a world championship caliber team that's going to put you in more positions to win too. But the bottom line is, you're right. If you look at the numbers alone and you look at what he did, there is a case to be made of the fact that he still got the job done more times than not. It's just, I worry about fire starting. I'm not going to sit there and like call him names and some of the reactions I've seen on Twitter. But
man, people get angry about Ken Giles, don't they?
No doubt about it. In a hurry. It's like kerosene in a match, and look the hell out.
I mean, ERA-wise, 230 is high for a closer.
Yeah,
but it's not horrible.
No, I get it.
You've got guys. Cody Allen had a 2.94 ERA. That's higher than Ken Giles. That's a closer for Cleveland.
Yeah.
So it could be worse. And his WHIP is good at 1.04. That's really good. I mean, so statistically, it doesn't look pretty, but he's getting the job done. Why is everybody upset? Because he gives up a run here and there?
Because they're worried.
But he still gets the save.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of worry about
angst,
the what-ifs and scenarios where in the future you might not be so lucky.
But that's where you have to trust guys like A.J. Hinch. It's his job to not let Ken Giles
run a lot. I like the fact that Hinch, after two outs, yanked him the other day.
Exactly.
Because it's better to figure it out now and send a message, but also, hey, we're willing to work with you, but this is not something we're going to tolerate later, than it is, let's just wait and see and keep throwing him out there. Just like with the Reddick scenario. Mm-hmm. If Reddick continued to crap the bed and didn't get a hit and didn't go on Twitter with the I need a hit, whatever it was, and then start breaking out of it, I'd have sat his ass down. Send a message early. Let him work it out. There's going to be more opportunities for you. But it's, again, that's a scenario where you've got a lot more wiggle room than you do when you're talking about a closer.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate, but that's true. That's what you sign up for.
Yeah. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you want to join us, let's tone down the Giles calls.
Yeah.
713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. It's Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. Okay.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Knee deep, hour number two, 3 hour show. Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, Joel, ESPN 97.5. Good participation again today, gang. Not necessarily on the phone calls, but between text and Twitter. And you want to tell me what the hell's going on
here? Yodel Trap. That's what this is. This is Yodel Kid. Raheel tweeted this out with trap music. That is legendary. This was a guy's like walk-up.
Walmart or something?
The kid was at Walmart yodeling, but when we did Yodel Kid, was it Friday?
I believe it was Friday.
I think it was Friday. Yeah, we did the Yodel Kid. Oh, yeah, because AJ didn't want to do it because he hated it. That's our favorite part. But we played like the remix of it because it had a beat behind it. And then that's somebody's walk-up music, like the Mudcats. Minor league baseball player on the Mudcats. That's his walkout music. That is beautiful.
That's cool.
Okay.
I see, by the way, the Astros are tweeting out the walk-up music for their starting lineup now.
I do think we should do that for Wayback Wednesday. Let's just do our walkout. Because then we had wrestle dorks that wanted us to do our wrestling walkout music. We've had baseball dorks wanting us to do our baseball walkout music.
We had computer guys that want us to turn the volume down.
All right, Buzzy McBuzzerson.
Okay, Mr. Table Tapper today.
Your phone's gone off 15 times.
No, yours hit it today.
No, not at all. You can't prove it. You don't have video. Oh.
Yeah, we do.
So we should do our walkout songs. You want to do that?
We got to do 8 walkout songs for us?
What you would want to walk up to the plate.
All before the year 2000, I'm assuming?
All prior to the year 2000.
Salt and Pepper, What a Man, just 8 times.
That's going to be yours? What a Man? No. I like it. I can't wait for 2020. I hope we're still on the air because then we're going to move to 2000. And then we'll just keep going anything older than 20 years.
I thought we are at songs
prior to 2000.
I think we're almost exhausting anything from like 1970.
So are you saying we need to switch it to 2010?
That's a throwback.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that even my wife is going, oh my God, you guys. It's like a math test to study for every time when we got to go find it.
It's like having to write a weekly column. Oh. What?
Well, you should try doing videos.
Politely declined.
Darren Revelle tweeting NBA ratings on ABC through 17 games this season, up 17% compared to last season.
Good for them.
Viewership up 21% amongst ages 18 to 49 men.
You're welcome. Okay. It's because of the Rockets.
That's right.
They should thank the Rockets.
Is it because of the Saturday night game too? Because people got stuff to do during the game on Sundays, which was the ABC slot normally. I think that Saturday night game helps because there's not a whole lot on TV on Saturday night.
It could be.
And you can catch a game. It's normally a good matchup, and then you don't burn your Sunday because no one's staying inside when the weather's like this.
Why don't they do Saturday day games? They don't do that? They don't like doing that? How come they don't schedule
more? Because most of the time during the year, the competition, too. Saturday day games in the NBA, you're up against college football. Then it transforms into college basketball, getting ready for March Madness.
I actually like the Saturday day games.
Do you?
Yeah. Because you go in early.
From your schedule, it's good.
Yeah. And then I still have Saturday night to do whatever the hell I want.
Right.
Like you said, Saturday night TV is not necessarily the best. But I don't watch TV that much anyway.
But from a viewership perspective, they're trying to hit the home run with the audience.
Right.
And then the key matchups and not having these players rest, too, makes it more compelling to watch the games. If you're watching the Spurs and Popovich is resting everybody, it sucks. But if they're not resting these guys now, it helps as well. But at least ratings are up. The NBA product is good. So that's just something to throw out there for people to chew on.
A couple of texts.
Okay.
So somebody said last year was Reddick's first season with the Astros, and he was great. Giles was awful in 2016. We have PTSD with Giles, not Reddick. Completely different. I disagree with that logic. He's catching heat or hate because he has one job. His job is to go out there and get 3 outs. That's it. I almost cursed reading the text verbatim. Dodgers fans were freaking out because Kenley Jansen had 2 bad outings to start the season. Look at Jansen's ERA for the year so far. I agree with Barry. Giles needs to sit down with Brent Strom and learn how to throw a curveball or a changeup. That fastball slider combo isn't working, even though that's one of the most deadly combos. Fastball changeup, fastball slider. That's pretty standard stuff.
That's one of the things I was going to ask you, though. Brent Strom has been so good for so many. Keuchel can't stop singing his praises of turning his career around, everything like that. I like Verlander working with Giles too, but my question is, why can't Brent Strom find something with this guy?
I mean,
and I know we're gonna regurgitate the whole thing.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, because you're right. Because when his whether it is his changeup or when his off speed pitch, he can be devastating. Mm-hmm. He can be highly effective, but we just haven't seen it. So I mean, on a consistent basis, that's the thing. The consistency, and when he's starting fires, I think that's what worries people. But we're just going to start this whole thing over.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to...
Like, Anthony Munoz is being mean. He's like, who's a better pitcher, Ken Giles or 50 Cent? I mean, at that point...
50 Giles.
Yeah, you're going a little... he should wear 50.
50 Giles.
Yeah.
No, he should wear 100. 100 miles Giles.
Yeah, well...
Right?
That's the exit velocity, too.
That's 120.
Yeah.
It should be 120.
Fair or foul, it's still getting out of here.
Does Joel think the Packers could possibly trade back into the first round since they have 12 picks? Also, could they use the 14 pick on a wide receiver?
Yes. Second part first. Yes, they could use it on a wide receiver, and that's definitely in the discussion, including the kid from Alabama, which is what Lance was telling me could be in the mix. But overall, I don't think they're going to trade back because they still have too many holes to fill, and whether they get a pass rusher or a receiver, they need that pick that high. There, okay. I did it quick for you, Barry.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you.
Somebody wanted, JJ asked me, what's my take on the MLB 2018? They have this thing. He said, what's your take on the archetype system and road to the show? So as you start to get good, then it gets harder. And then that way it kind of keeps you leveled out. So I'm not going to hit 508.
As with anything in life, it should.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't mind it. Although I don't want to play a game where I'm hitting 280. No, I don't want that. I just go watch baseball if I want to see.
Anyway.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. If I'm playing a video game, I don't want to be hitting. I don't want to be some dude hitting 250. Batting ninth and you know, or a utility guy. That's not why I'm playing the video game.
Okay.
So I kind of like it, but I don't want it to get too difficult. I haven't gotten that far in, so we'll find out.
All right.
Yeah. So there's all the text. We're caught up.
You sure?
Yep.
All right.
That's it.
Okay.
We even got your Packer question in.
I appreciate that.
I was going to delete it, and then you'd be like, see?
No.
You deleted my Packer question.
I understand who our audience is. Weather report, by the way, I looked up for Minneapolis tonight because last night just looked cold. And Nick was talking about this. You know, God love having the Astros with some guys that have some gumption. I won't use the term I would use in the production meeting. But to see that early in the first inning, Mariznick goes into the alley and dives flat out, his body. I mean, guys were like really putting it all out there, even in those conditions. And I thought that was fantastic. And you and I had talked about this. I thought it was a key. Verlander having pitched in those conditions and pitched in that division and all that stuff. He was lights out. He was fantastic. So that was fantastic. How about the pitches that Lynn had thrown? Like, he had thrown a full game in almost five innings.
Dude was balling,
and he was pitching well. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was surprised, too, because he was such a late pickup. It was interesting to see. I made the comment yesterday. It's going to be interesting to see how he pitches in his first game since he was such a late pickup. They used him. I mean, he had 90 pitches
the fourth inning? We saw Arrieta couldn't even get through his first
Holland,
start.
Who was another late signing.
Yep.
So I think they got him one in Lynn. I mean, but he was to me a top two or three pitching prospects, but free agents on the market. Darvish was first. I was really surprised that Lynn lasted as long as he did. Same thing with Cobb. So I think they got him one there. The Twins they need him because Santana, they don't know how long he's going to be out.
So your weather report for Minneapolis: the temperature currently is 35. The high will be 43 around game time, and the rest of the week. The Astros will finish out the series at 48 degrees on Wednesday. And then the weekend in Minneapolis, good thing they're not playing the Stros, 38, 33, 30, and 37. And finishing up on Tuesday with 41.
That's
good thing
crazy.
You got to close. Oh, no, that's right. You can't close the roof on that stadium. All right. Good job. Dallas Keuchel tonight, a little different, though. Not a big fastball guy. Going to see if he can get his breaking stuff and control it in the cold weather.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right. Astros talk has been a topic here in hour number two, but we've got plenty more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, throw it out there for us. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, out of the locker room, gassed up and ready to go for the second half of the big show. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects, it's ESPN 97.5. We got a little bit caught up on the Rockets. I don't think anybody cares about, except for the fact that there's 85 scenarios still of who they will play. It'll all be clear in the next 24 to 48, so we'll see how that breaks out. We talked Astros, talked about the preview of the game tonight, the weather report. Some relief pitcher. And now we can move on.
I'm trying to find this stat because I was like, okay, there's got to be a better way to measure the value of a closer as opposed to just saves and ERA, right? Because in this, in the day and age of advanced metrics where you have WAR, WAR plus, FIP, and all this other stuff that you can use to gauge, OPS has now become kind of a standard. You when you look at a hitter, you don't look at average, because if you looked at average, you would be saying to yourself, man, Alex Bregman is garbage. But then you look at his OPS or his on-base percentage, you're like, whoa, Alex Bregman is actually contributing in a decent way to this team. Even though he's not hitting, he's getting on base. He's got a 175 ERA, a 327 on base.
His defense, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's making some plays with his glove, too. But
By the way, on that subject, you said you watched the first six innings.
Uh-huh.
That slide worry you a little bit last night?
Yeah, a little bit.
On the replay, I'm thinking, oh my God, he could have broken his hand.
Barrel rolling into there.
That was ugly.
But anyways, I found this statistic, and I'm not going to bore everybody with going into it, but I'm going to try to pull this up just to compare. But apparently on Fangraphs, they were talking about a statistic called shutdowns and meltdowns. And it was created as an alternative to saves and blown saves in an effort to better represent a relief pitcher's value. So I'm going to dig into that a little bit, and we'll see. And I'll give a 30-second synopsis of what I find later on in the show about Ken Giles. Well, I just want to see where he compares to.
Is your thesis statement going to be later in the show? Or
Dr. Laminack, sir!
Due by the end of the week.
Who should I compare him to? You want me to compare him to Kimbrel and Jansen?
I mean, Kimbrel's probably fair. Kimbrel and Jansen are two of the best, and you can't. Betances has been blowing up all over the place lately.
Yeah.
I'm sure Yankee fans.
Would love Ken Giles. Yeah.
I'll trade you Ken Giles for Betances right now. Because Betances right now, Yankee fans are ready to go like on a ledge with him.
I'll do Cody Allen as well.
Okay.
That's a good 1-2 punch in Cleveland back into that bullpen. Yep. All right. I'll try to find this.
Finishing up some baseball so we can roll on. But a funny story. And actually, the White Sox took the high road. But we were talking about the weather in Minneapolis. Weather in Chicago has been awful. Yesterday, 3 inches of snow fell near the lake, Wrigley Field. Two and a half inches fell a little bit more inland, south side of Chicago, White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
The correlation? White Sox played their game yesterday. Cubs postponed their home opener, and the players went out and played in the snow on the field. They asked the White Sox groundskeeper, are you going to take any shots, Justin Spillman, as the Cubs groundskeeper? And they said, they asked Roger Bassard, the groundskeeper of the White Sox, are you going to take shots at Justin in the fact that you got your field ready to play and he didn't? And he took the high road, which is crazy with Cubs White Sox. He said, he's a knowledgeable, talented young man. You've got more than 2 inches of snow. When you're at three and a half like they had, they made the right call. We lucked out because we weren't near the lake with more precipitation, and then got into a whole bunch of technical things that they use. But literally, the Cubs players were out snow day, so much fun, throwing snowballs and having fun with making snow angels on the field, while the White Sox were actually playing a home game. Crazy.
It's so funny. It's so funny. North side versus south side, there's always that. Yeah, the Cubs are this.
Parks are 10 miles apart.
How precious the Cubs, those soft-ass Northsiders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Parks are only 10 miles apart, but he thinks that the lake played a big enough difference to put more than an inch and a half more snow on Wrigley.
No.
They got to start looking about things with baseball. We're talking about someone's going to get hurt.
This happens every year, though.
But not this prevalent all across the East Coast and the North. I mean, occasionally you get one or the other, but man, it just seems like all over the place.
No, it's every year. There's snows. There's snow outs that they call rain outs. I mean, like,
thank God
happens.
Milwaukee's got a close, can close the roof.
Yeah.
Because I told you when I was home, it was 19. It got up to about 30. But yet, because they were playing indoors, they had no problems. It was warm and everybody, you know, they had two series go on at home. Otherwise, Milwaukee always opens up on the road because you can't until the weather gets right.
Okay. You
so
ready
the
for this?
Greenhouse effect is going to be a problem.
Are you ready for this?
Sure. Not that I am, but go ahead.
So shutdowns versus meltdowns.
Uh-huh.
I looked at Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrell, Cody Allen, and Ken Giles. No surprise, Kenley Jansen 1, Craig Kimbrell 2, Cody Allen 3, Ken Giles 4.
Now you got everybody in their car going, see, I told you.
But not that bad. As far as shutdowns go, which is the, you know, you come in and you do what you're supposed to do. From 2016 to 2018, Kenley Jansen has 78, Kimbrell and Allen it was 63, and Ken Giles with 52. Meltdowns, it's 13, 15, 15, and 16. So as far as meltdowns and it's not just a blown save, but it's when you go in there and you get
so
rattled.
That is starting the fire?
That Kimbrell, Allen, and Giles are 15 and 16. I would say Craig Kimbrell is as good as anybody in this game. He has one more meltdown in the last 2 years than, or the formula puts him at 15. And if you're curious, there was a thing that talks about what's good and what's bad. Average is 20 and 8. So if you have 20 shutdowns and 8 meltdowns, that makes you average in the majors for a closer. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, it's not as bad as you think.
Bear's going to buy a Ken Giles jersey.
I am not.
Jersey.
I am not. Wear it. I'm just making the point that people, I think, are overreacting.
You're directing it at me.
No, but I'm just talking to you.
Okay.
I'm saying this to the people that are freaking out about it. And I know you're not a fan.
There are people freaking out. Yeah. Mine is just a lack of trust with the guy. I mean, I know he's got a world-class arm. But I'm like, you know, at a certain point, I think that, you know, with a world-class team, it's a bigger concern than it would be if you were just a middle-of-the-road team.
I should compare him to, like, Billy Wagner.
Brad Lidge.
Yeah.
Brad Lidge is the guy.
It'll only let me do four, though. What's up with that?
You want a fire starter? How about this for just in? Thank you, Dre. Tristan Thompson caught on video locking lips with a sexy brunette at a Manhattan club just days before his baby mama, Khloe Kardashian, set to give birth.
Uh-oh.
Oh, the curse! It is alive.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's not a good sign, is it?
Nope.
Nope. Just throwing it out there. Okay, that's about the NBA. That's good enough for NBA conversation at this point. since really, just sort it out and let's go. I'm ready for the playoffs. There's too much crap going on.
I'm with you.
All right, so you want to get to this master story you wanted to get to
badly? Yeah, well, I just want to talk about it. I'm curious.
It is kind of neat. But we talked about Patrick Reed winning the Masters, and we gave him a little bit of the backstory with him yesterday. But he was at the Knicks game last night sitting courtside, and he wore the green jacket. That behooved me to put it on the rundown to ask you guys, like, if you won the Masters and you got the green jacket, how much run would it get in your wardrobe, or would it just stay like a trophy? Because Phil Mickelson in the past has gone to, I think, Dunkin' Donuts and several drive-thrus with his moobs covered in the green jacket.
Just the green jacket, no shirt? Because that's what I would do.
No.
I would go.
Nobody
jacket,
deserves to see that for Phil.
I would go jacket, no shirt. Just letting it all be sexy.
Now, Sergio said last year that Sergio Garcia, that he was doing the circuit of all the TV shows, and one of the stagehands put their arm around him when they were taking a picture. They had grease on their hand, and he was so worried he ruined the jacket, had to send it to a dry cleaner real quick. They got it out. But how often would you wear the jacket if you won the whole thing? I mean, how boisterous would you be? It's like the ratings in radio, Barry. You can't brag because next year someone's going to win.
My whole deal is the venue he chose. Like, why would you wear it to a Knicks game and risk
attention?
No, I mean, okay, if you want it for attention, that's fine. But at the Knicks game,
get some nacho cheese on it.
Yeah,
well,
ruined it.
You know,
somebody
the thing
spills
is,
a Coke
is they,
on you.
You know, they call him Captain America. He's so patriotic. I think, and when you win the Masters, it doesn't matter what city you're from. The whole country is going to be like, way to go, for the most part. So I think he's doing it for the attention. Because if you notice, like a year ago, Sergio, 2 years ago with Jordan Spieth, they were on every late night show. They were on every morning show, Today Show, Good Morning America. I don't see this run from him. There's some truth to the fact that there's a lot of people that aren't exactly big fans of this guy.
I would, if I won the Masters and had the green jacket, the very first thing I would do is I would wear it during sex.
See, that's not smart.
I don't think a dry cleaner can help you in that case.
I would totally have sex in the green jacket. I'd be like, yeah.
Why was that the first thing that popped up in your head?
Because that's how I'm celebrating.
It's also the first thing that popped up in his pants.
Look, MMA fighters, when they win their championship belt,
I would have sex in the belt.
They would actually walk around.
If I was an Astro, I'd have sex in my ring.
With their belt. And I thought that was kind of tacky, cheesy.
It is corny.
Unless you're
But yours could fit
promoting.
In your ring, right?
To what?
You said you'd have sex
with my ring on.
Yeah.
Saying I would use it as a C-ring.
Yeah, maybe it fits.
No. I don't know. Does it?
I don't know what your ring size is, Chief, but I definitely don't know what the other thing is. So, you know.
I mean, I might floss it for a little while.
I wouldn't wear the ring if I won a World Series. I wouldn't wear it. That just looks corny. I would have sex in the Masters jacket. I would probably wear it around just to piss people off.
I'll tell you this. I'd wear it to a couple charity events because I think that that's where you could do some good with it. But you know what?
I would wear it to every golf tournament I was in. I would just show up in my Masters jacket. What's up, losers? All the way to the next Masters.
You're that guy, not in Tin Cup, but in Happy
losers?
Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shooter McGavin.
You're Shooter McGavin. There you go. Yeah. No.
No, I wouldn't do it. I would have sex in it, but I wouldn't wear it out. That's just corny. It's just dorky. Like, why are you wearing it out?
Sex in it is equally as corny.
No, I totally would. No, it's not corny. No one would know. Why is that corny?
You document everything. You'd probably record yourself.
He's got a point there.
I mean, going to selfie style. We celebrate, bitches. Just my naked ass with a Masters jacket
on.
The ring thing.
How annoyed I got. We used to, every year we go to broadcast meetings. Every team in the league has to go. And when the Heat won it, and they only won it because they got, well, I guess they won it when they had Dwayne Wade too. But they got their TV guy's Italian, and he does a lot of things with his hands. They all had to wear the rings when they were meeting with just the rest of us in the league, and they'd shake the ring. Like, they'd make points with their hands so they could shake the ring in the air. And we all knew what they were doing. And we're all just like, these guys are the biggest a-hole tools on the planet. Now, I get the broadcasters for the Astros showing it off this trip. I just hope we don't see them all year. I hope Todd Callis isn't still sticking his finger in the camera after, like, you know, the second trip of the year.
Was he doing that?
Oh, yeah. He kept going, here, see, this is what it looks like. Here, look at this. And you can't see it because his finger's right up in the camera anyway. The focus is on the guys, not the ring. But, yeah, they were definitely showing the rings. Julia was playing with her hair to show she had it on. So, to each his own. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's more of The Usual Suspects in just mere minutes. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Almost done with hour number two of the three-hour show.
God,
so
that went fast.
Yeah, big show. Still lots to get to.
AJ got on us. Well, you, but us. We're a team.
Screw it.
He was like, why does Joel say it's the big show?
Oh, yeah, that was a while back.
No, he did it Friday, too. He was like, and so
because I was out.
So I started coming back.
That was great.
Freaking big P.
So I started bringing us back. Welcome back to the big show.
Yeah.
We had fun with it, but I was like, hey, don't be mad because you didn't think of it.
You guys,
I said Fred comes starts the show with the greatest show in the known universe.
Yeah.
What's wrong with saying the big show?
He always sits there like a kid that's been punished at school. It's like the chair is swallowing
this
him.
This
is he's
my
out
bad,
there,
by the way.
He's out there in the bullpen. The chair is swallowing him. He's got the big lower lip. And then he's like, well, why does he get, why do you guys, I want to know why you guys, you know what? You didn't think of it. That's why. So you didn't do it. We did. Turn the page. Move on. Did it on Twitter, too, that said, miss you, Joel, with a heart. I was like, you liar. Shut up.
Oh, gosh, you guys are awesome. Okay, a couple of texts. Somebody asked, where do you guys think Christian Kirk will be drafted?
Second or third round. He's not a frontline guy. We've talked about this before. He's a slot guy. He's a return guy. He's kind of small. We can have Lance in here at some point if you want to fire off questions on him. But my opinion is he's not going in the first round, I don't think.
Yeah, I think he'll be mid-second round. I mean, he's a top 7, top 8 receiver, top 5 maybe. But he's small. I mean, he's 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of bulky. I think he's 5'10", 200, which is decent for a receiver at 5'10". So he's probably stronger than people give him credit for because he's so fast. But he's a slot guy. How much value do teams have on just a guy that's only going to be able to play the slot? Because that's all he's going to do. But his value comes in the fact that he can return punts and kicks, and he's dangerous at that because he is so fast. What I think will be interesting that you have to keep in mind is, especially as you draft a guy like that and say, oh, well, he could be a kick returner. Remember, the NFL is talking about getting rid of kickoffs. Yeah. And then what do you do? Now you just got a really fast slot guy. And
you don't pay him a lot.
If you have value in that, that's great. But I think he'll go second round, but I'm going to stick to what I said earlier, the same thing I said about Johnny Manziel. I think at the end of the day, Christian Kirk's not going to be a good NFL receiver. I could be wrong. He's fast enough to make me look bad and to prove me wrong. But, I mean, he's dynamic. I just don't know if he's going to be able to hang with. Dude, cornerbacks nowadays are big. They're strong. They're fast. I don't know if a guy like Christian Kirk is going to be able to hang with that. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. Who knows? Somebody said, has the Wayback Wednesday theme been decided yet? I mean, we were talking about it at the break. We were talking about maybe just do the walk-up songs and get it over with.
Yeah.
And it's also, there probably won't be many repeats. Although, I'll probably just pick what I think Joel would do so he can't have them.
Which is in the spirit of all that support you were just talking about with the AJ thing. Yeah.
If I told y'all Melo set his career high in single season threes last night, would you believe it with the disappointing season he's had? No, I wouldn't.
I would not either. The only reason why, if you put more thought into it, is because of the fact that this in the NBA, they just shoot so many threes these days.
Yeah.
You know, the three has consumed. Someone was talking about, like, in the first round, if the brow goes off
and wins, and
Embiid. And Embiid, you got to worry about with his injury now. He's got that fractured orbital bone, but he should be all right. But if those two guys go off, is it going to be the return of the big man? There's just not – I just responded by saying there's just not that many good, talented big men around to be able to make it a big man's game.
And the offenses have changed.
And like you said, and because of analytics and how big the three ball has become.
The offenses have changed. That's not the focus anymore.
I don't think you can make it.
What, 5, 6, 7 big men that are like really good?
Well, 5, 6, or 7. I can probably get close.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Now, what? That are decent or that no, are
good,
elite?
Like Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins. Those are three.
Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid, 4.
Who did you...
Carl Anthony Towns.
Carl Anthony Towns is 5, no, for
that's,
sure.
That's four. I mentioned Carl Anthony
Towns. That was the 4th. DeMarcus Cousins, the brow.
Boogie.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah, well, I just said DeMarcus Cousins. Oh. Joel Embiid and Carl Anthony Towns. That's 4.
Yeah. The two guys in Denver and Portland, Jokic and Nurkic, can both play very good, but I don't know that they're all-stars
yet. I wouldn't put them in the same class as those guys.
Rudy Gobert?
Rudy Gobert is completely a defensive force, but is he offensive enough to be... You know, that's what I'm saying. From an offensive perspective, you're not going to put the ball in Rudy Gobert's hands.
I think next year, if Nurkic keeps getting better, he's going to be one of those guys that you say...
Yeah.
He's an upper echelon center, but not right now. He still has lapses.
Hassan Whiteside, are you going to put him in that mix?
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm
numbers are good,
out.
But huh?
I feel like I'm leaving centers out.
I'm sure there's some, but overall,
Capella? You're going to put Capella up there?
That's not your guy, Nick. I mean, he's all-star MVP caliber.
He's probably top 10 now.
Marc Gasol
still should be up there.
Yep.
DeAndre Jordan
should be up there, but
is he a legit center though?
Is he legitimately anything offensive other than putbacks and dunks?
Andre Drummond.
Drummond's a good offensive player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's big men out there, but you're right. The most important thing is with the whole analytics and offensive systems that are being run, it's layups and threes like D'Antoni does. Maybe not to that extreme for everyone, but people have proven that there's more value to be made threes.
And those guys are good, but that doesn't mean that we're back to the era of the big men. When you're talking about the era of the big men, you can start with Abdul-Jabbar and Parrish, and you can go all the way to Olajuwon and Shaq and Ewing and Alonzo Mourning, and that was the era
Steve
of
Stepanovich
big men.
And Rick Smiths. I just want to... Sure. Alonzo Mourning. There you go.
Jim Peterson.
Jim P.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Granville Waiters.
Yeah. So that's a difference in saying there's definitely good big men in the NBA and they're making a comeback because there hadn't seemed to been this many in recent seasons.
Serviceable and above average doesn't make it
the big man era.
Yeah, exactly.
Because offenses are still revolving around the three because of the fact that what's the two best shots? A dunk and a three. Yeah. That's it. Yep. So there's some teams that'll run the pick and roll, but a lot of teams now are looking for that three ball.
Completely agree. So there you have it. We got that out of the way. Anything else on your mind?
Jefe just tweeted out a picture of Ken Giles with my face on it.
Yeah, and I said, talk about a fire starter. That's gas can Laminac.
That's true.
Instead of oil can Boyd.
Gas can Laminac.
Yeah. There you go. Get a walk-up song to that.
If I, on nickname day, my jersey would just say flame on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then your walk-up music when you're coming out to the mound would be the Cult, Fire.
That's not bad. 80s disco songs was a Way Back Wednesday theme. God, kill me now.
I thought we did something like
that.
We
did disco,
no.
But not 80s. We did 70s disco era.
Is there a difference?
Yeah. 80s disco versus
70s
disco?
BG's 70s or 80s?
70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we got two in the books. One to go. 1 hour left. Big show. We are rolling along and kicking ass taking names, but we'll take your name if you want to put it on the phone board. Otherwise, if you want to just text us or
Porzingis.
Tweet us.
Is he a center?
See, that's the thing. There's so many tweeters.
He's a hybrid.
That's why the
NBA...
Marcus
forward.
Aldridge, another one?
That's, he's a power forward.
That's why the NBA got rid of the center in the All-Star game. Because they're just... That's what I'm saying. It's
they're
just, it's a blur now. They're all hybrids.
They're like the...
Philadelphia's got a 6'10 point guard.
Half lion, half what?
I don't know what you're talking about. 1 hour to go to the big show.
Half
so,
man,
half
unicorn?
Half man, half amazing. That's...
What's the half dude, half horse? What's that called?
The unicorn.
That's the unicorn.
Well, they call Porzingis the unicorn.
I know, but I'm saying what's the half, the hybrid, where it's a horse's body with a human head?
Do a thesis on it. We'll get to it by Friday.
Somebody knows.
Of course they do. Prepare for the floodgates of tweets and texts coming right now.
Centaurian or Centurion?
Centaur.
Oh, I was close.
You guys are killing me.
I thought I was hanging out with a bunch of nerds. You guys obviously proved we're not dorks on this show because we would have known that.
That's false. At least 2/3. So we'll get hour
you
number three in just minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.